Liz Coe, good morning to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
financial planner Liz is specialising in retirement planning. This discussion is of a general nature and does not constitute financial advice. We're going all philosophical today anyway, aren't we? Can money buy happiness?
Well, yes, that's the really important question at this time of year in particular, isn't it? You know, when we're focusing on you know, perhaps trying to make other people happy with our gift buying and spending lots of money. And I think, you know, we do lose sight of what's important in life. And, you know, sometimes it's good to stand back and say, well, what is it that we're really pursuing in life? Are we aiming to make a lot of money, you know, make millions of dollars, or are we really aiming to maximize our happiness in life? Because, you know, one doesn't equate to the other. So, you know, having millions of dollars doesn't necessarily make you happy, but, you know, it can. And I think, you know, so what I want to talk about today is some of the research that's been done that looks at this issue of does money buy happiness? And you know, there's some quite interesting work that's been done. And I think, you know, the key message that comes through in what I've been reading is that it's not how much money you have that's important. It's what you do with that money. It's the things that you spend it on. So there are some things that will definitely increase your happiness and some that may, you know, have a sort of a short-term impact on your happiness level, if you like.
Okay, what are some of the key things we've learned from that research?
Well, yeah, there is a very important piece of work that was done probably 10 or so years ago around, you know, people getting to a certain level of income beyond which happiness doesn't increase. So what they found, and this is US research, was that, you know, once you get past about $75,000 a year income, that beyond that, you know, the extra income doesn't really add a lot to your happiness level. I mean, it might give you a lot more trappings in life. It might give you a more luxurious car, more luxurious house, but it doesn't necessarily make you happier. And I think, you know, there's some corresponding research that was done at the University of British Columbia that shows that, you know, the more money you have, it tends to take away your ability to savor the small things in life, you know, the simple things and the simple pleasures that we have, you know. You can lose sight of those simple pleasures if you have a lot of money to throw around. Sometimes, you know, having a simple life is good. And I think that's probably been one of the learnings through COVID, hasn't it? That we start to appreciate more the non-monetary aspects of life.
You want enough because the stress of not having enough is terrible and draining, and especially when you're responsible for others. But a lot of this research says once you've got enough to not be constantly stressing and worrying, then that's right. I tell you, the other thing that tends to happen, I'm not sure if the research backs it up, once you've got more, you become obsessed with protecting it and continually getting more instead of taking that risk to say, you know what, going to quit the job and go study still life painting or something, or, you know, or going to travel or you become a bit sort of addicted. The risk is becoming addicted to protecting or ever growing what you've got, whereas in the end, beyond what you need, it's just a stash of money in the end, isn't it?
living is different
from that.
That's right. And yeah, this money only has value when you spend it, you know, when you spend it on things that actually give you value. And actually, you know, there's another piece of research that says, you know, if you truly want to be happy, then give to other people. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean just giving money. It can be any sort of giving. But the act of giving actually to others creates more happiness than buying things for yourself. And I guess that's part of what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It's kind of the thought that counts. And you don't have to buy expensive presents in order to create happiness for yourself and for other people. But, you know, and we know that, you know, if we're buying stuff, you know, stuff kind of, it has a sort of temporary impact on your happiness, but And over time, it loses its shine, doesn't it? You know, you buy the fancy new gadget, you know, and it's all very exciting for a short time, but it doesn't last. Whereas things like experiences create long-term memories. And so with a memory, you can play that over and over again in your head, and it can bring you happiness for the rest of your life. You know, as you recount those, you know, those valuable times that you've spent with other people, so that has a much longer lasting value than buying stuff.
It's the same with the giving. We're tribal beasts, and the reason we get that little chemical reward from giving is because it's kind of evidence of being part of the tribe and solving the problem and contributing. And again, that's something you can replay and remember when you did something really good for someone as well.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And other people, the people that you give to, remember that as well. And that can be, again, it's a lifelong thing. But I think, you know, it comes back to, you know, what are our basic human needs? And we do want to be part of a tribe. We want to be connected to other people. We want to feel, you know, good within ourselves. We want to feel capable, you know, connected, feel some sense of achievement. And so when you're spending your money, you want to be able to tap into those basic needs that you have and spend your money in a way that enhances or pays attention to those kind of basic needs, because that's how you'll get the maximum happiness out of your money. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's, as I say, it's not how much you have, it's what you do with it that counts. And it's about spending it in a way that will bring you the greatest joy for the greatest length of time, and obviously also bring joy to other people as well. So yeah, money has no value unless you do something really good with it. We don't just accumulate it for the sake of accumulating it.
On the other side, I think it's important to note at this time where we're worried so much about the inequality, which is growing apace in COVID times, is the stress of not having enough, as I said, is terrible. And yes, it can't buy happiness, but in and of itself. But having enough is certainly something we want all households, all families, all people
Absolutely.
To have. Those basics,
Absolutely.
A roof overhead, enough food, you know, the ability to be able to participate in whoever your tribe is. And I think that's possibly why people are so focused on what's happened with housing and poverty and people on waiting lists is, too much will make you unhappy potentially, and certainly not any happier. Not enough is a stress that's just too prevalent these days in our country.
That's right. And so there's a right balance in there somewhere, isn't there? You know, you need to have enough, but you don't need a massive amount of wealth in order to be happy. That's really what it boils down to. And whatever money you do have, you need to spend that wisely in a way that maximises your happiness. But yes, there are a lot of people who, particularly at this time of year, will be finding things really tough.
Thank you, Liz. Thanks for all your contributions this year. Is it a big, lavish, all-in Christmas day or a nice, peaceful, relaxed?
I'm going to Auckland, travelling away from Tahori Beach where I live, up to Auckland, to the heart of COVID territory. So,
well, it's not so much the case now. There are things have moved on that front, but wherever you are, have a lovely, peaceful, restful time. I think we all really want to make the most.
Yeah,
we really want to make the most of what we have this summer. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you and appreciate it. Liz Coe, financial planner.